Amen. Good morning again. This morning I want to look at the Word of God itself a little bit. If we are living our lives the way that God would have us to live our lives, we should be living them in accordance with the Word of God, based on the Word of God. And when we share with other people, and when we preach and do those things in particular, we ought to be using the Word of God. But I want to look this morning specifically at the Word itself, because it's easy for us to get distracted by the many and varied and competing words around us, which try and vie very much for our attention and for our loyalty to take those things as valid and those things as valuable. And I want to look this morning not just at some subject pulling from the Word of God, but I want to look this morning at the Word of God itself, what it is and its sufficiency and all of those things. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. I thank you for your Word, which we have available to us, that we have in our hands, that we can read, we can see, we can study, we can go back and check things, and we don't have to be dependent on just what we can remember or what we think we might know, but that we can truly depend on and lean on and rest in your Word. And I pray this morning as we open it to look specifically at it, that you would cause us, Father, to be reminded and brought again to a sense of awe of you, of your goodness, of your sufficiency, and of all that you've provided for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start, I think, just by reading a couple verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about the purpose of the Word of God, what God has given it to us for. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul here writing to his son in the faith, a young man who he's been mentoring for quite a period of time, and who he loved very, very dearly. He writes here to Timothy, he says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So, we'll just jump in here. What is the purpose of the Word of God? Why was it given to us? He says here that it was given to us and it is profitable. It's useful. It's beneficial to us in doctrine. So what we believe, what we stand on, what we base our life on, what we build our life on. For reproof, that would be to point out where there's error, where there's inconsistency, where there's sin. Correction, again, pointing out what's off, what's wrong, but also has the idea of nudging us back towards the what's right. For instruction, not just that it tells us what we shouldn't do, it tells us what we should do. It says instruction in righteousness. God's Word gives us full clarity on what God's desire for our life is. Not just what He wants us to avoid, but how He wants us to live. What He wants us to do. How He wants us to walk. We looked this morning at the different types of way that we can build our lives. Wood, hay, stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stone. And the Word of God, here the Apostle Paul is saying, that is what helps to clarify for us and give us understanding and ability to be able to see what are those things that are gold and silver and precious stones. And what are the things that are wood, hay, and stubble? What are the things we should be avoiding? What are the things we should be embracing? It's interesting when you look here that the purpose of the Word of God is not just to help us along, and we have to now also take, you know, some other things as well to be able to actually make it. But he says the purpose of it and what it does and will accomplish in our lives, if we allow it to, is that the man of God may be perfect. That's mature. That's complete. That's nothing standing between me and God. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given us His Word not just as a suggestion, not just as a possible way we could take to live our lives, but He's given us His Word, His precious, inspired Word, for the purpose that you and I might be able to live the way that Christ walked and lived here on this earth, the way that God Himself would have us to live. That's the purpose of the Word. And here we see not only that that's the purpose, but we see that the Word is sufficient. If we will embrace it, receive it, apply it, it's sufficient for us to be able to walk the way God wants us to walk. We don't need to be searching for other sources. We don't need to be searching for other wisdom. We don't need to be modulating it or defining it by other things. It is its own definer, and it is sufficient. The Word of God is sufficient to reprove us, to give us full understanding doctrinally, to give us correction, and to give us instruction in righteousness. It's sufficient that if we embrace it and follow it, the man of God, that's you, that's me, we can be complete. We can be mature. We can walk in a way that pleases God by following His Word. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We don't often take the time, I don't think, to stop and to think and to realize and to fully comprehend the pure gold that God has given us. We have brothers and sisters all over the world in persecuted countries who do not have the privilege or the ability to have a physical copy of the Word of God in their hands that they can look back to, they can study, they can pore over, they can consume, they can absorb. Many of them are limited to what they can remember, what they've memorized. Or there might be one Bible for an entire congregation and they pass it around and you might get to have it for a couple of days or for a week every several months. You and I tend to take for granted this gift, which is so valuable and precious and also so needful in our lives. Most of us, if you came and looked around our house, you'd probably find a half a dozen copies of the Scripture at least. Plus, you can get it on literally any device that you could ever want. In many different versions of apps, versions and translations, help, study guides with Strong's and numbers built in, and all these things. That's a wealth that we have available to us. But it becomes so commonplace. We're so used to it. We don't tend to value it very highly. But the Word of God, given by inspiration of God Himself. Think about that. The Word that you hold in your hand is God's very own Word. Inspired, breathed on, filled with life by Him. We don't value this gift sufficiently. We become it's very easy for us to become lackadaisical about it and just, oh yeah, I'll read it when I get a chance. I'll take the time later. I'll get it in later. And it's so easy for us to begin to forget and to not value the true value and worth that we hold in our hands in the Word of God. It's profitable. It's sufficient for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. God's given us what we need to walk perfectly with Him. You and I do not need to be seeking for, waiting for, or looking for a further vision or realization or understanding beyond what's in the Word of God. And many Christians, many denominations, many churches go astray looking for something beyond or outside of the Word of God. Be careful. The Word of God is sufficient. You don't need anything more than the Word of God opened and clarified to your heart and to your spirit by the Spirit of God. And Satan loves to get us looking outside of it for other sources of wisdom, other sources of doctrine, other sources of instruction in righteousness. It makes sense. The rudiments of this world, Paul calls it, the things that are just common sense, basic knowledge, they have no place dictating or directing the course of our lives as Christians. The Word of God is sufficient. And God has given it to us for this purpose, so that you and I, as men and women of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. It's sufficient. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, he says, "For the Word of God is quick," that means alive, "and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." You and I can be fooled by the appearance of things. You and I can be fooled by, oh well, it's a good thing, that's great. The Word of God is able to divide, he says, discern between the thoughts and intents, the reasons behind why you did what you did. The thing you did may have been okay, it may have been acceptable, but was the reason you did it a correct reason? And the Word of God is able to divide and discern between those things and reveal them to us if we will open ourselves up to His correction and instruction in righteousness and reproof. The Word of God is living, he says, and powerful. It's not just words on a paper. It's not just words on a paper. "Neither is there any creature that is not made manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." It's amazing the way that God Himself uses His Word here. He's saying how His Word is the discerner and the divider that makes those things open and clear, and nothing can hide before the face of Him, God, with whom we have to do. The Word of God is powerful. Psalm 19,
verse 7 through 11. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7, he says, "The law of God, the law of the Lord is perfect." Perfect. You don't need to add to it. You don't need to take away from it. In fact, if you do, you have strict warnings in the book of Revelation. Very strict warnings. If you add to it, your name will be added. You will be added to the lake of fire. If you take away from it, your name will be taken out of the book of life. The word of God is perfect. The law of the Lord, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. You don't need some smart trickery or some 12-step plan to bring someone, to lead someone to Christ. You need the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect and sufficient, converting the soul. God's Word, which comes in and begins to divide and to show and to illuminate and to show to you and I the intents and the purposes, the reasons why we do the things we do. It brings conviction. It brings reproof. It brings instruction in righteousness. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. That means it's solid. You can build your life on it. It's not going to change. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When you and I look around and things are this way one day and that way another day, and it's all fluid and it's all moving and it's all changing, it's hard to feel very satisfied or very safe or very content or full of joy. But here he says the word, the statutes of the Lord are right. They're solid, they're correct, and it brings joy to our hearts. We can count on it. It's going to be true. It's going to be right. And that is designed by God to bring joy and rest to your heart, to rejoice your heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. It's beautiful. He says here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, and righteous altogether. And now his heart overflows in desire and love for the Word of God. And he says in verse 10, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Amen. We looked at that this morning, the reward. The law of the Lord is perfect. By them we may be warned and directed, and in keeping them, there is great reward. The Word of God is sufficient for you and I to walk this way in a way that pleases God. To walk and to live our lives in a way that God would look down and smile on us and say, "That man, that woman is a man after my own heart." We do not need to be seeking for, looking for, or building on anything else. And it's so easy to do. To build on our common sense. to build on common, basic ideas, to build on our feelings, to build on our experiences. So many people lose their faith in God, at least to our appearance, if they had it to begin with or not. It appears, from what we can see on a human level, on this side of eternity, so many people lose their faith in God because of experiences. Brother or sister, I don't care what you experience. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not true. And you don't build your life on it, and you don't try to correct or fit or twist the Word of God to fit your experiences. You look at your experiences and you say, I don't know what happened there, because it doesn't make sense to me, but this is what the Word of God says. And I'm going to depend on it and rely on it and build my life on it, because God knows I don't. And God's Word is sufficient. God's Word is pure and faithful, and He says enduring forever, and righteous altogether. Altogether. There's not one iota that we can go, well, that's a little off. The rest of it's pretty good, but that's a little off. It's righteous altogether. And if you and I experience or view things or find things in our lives that don't seem to line up with the Word of God, we're wrong. Not God's Word. My experience is wrong. My perspective is wrong, not God's Word. It's righteous altogether. I want to look at the infallibility of the Word of God. And that simply means it's not possible to find wrong in it. It's not possible for it to be wrong, to be discredited, to be disproved. Psalm chapter 18, verse 3, he says, as for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. That means it's been put to the test 1,000 times over, and it stood the test. He is a buckler for all those who trust in Him. And therein lies the key. Because when you and I just take it and go, oh, well, yeah, that's good, but we don't settle it and trust in it and depend on it, our perspective, our experiences may tend to cause us to think, oh, it's not quite so, perhaps. But the Word of God is tried, and it is perfect, and it is pure. And when God says it, it is so. If I don't feel it, too bad. If I don't feel like I see it, too bad. If I can't fully understand it, that doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense, and that doesn't mean that it's incorrect. That means I'm weak, and I'm fallible, and I'm not smart as God. So I haven't figured out exactly what He sees and how He sees it. I can't fully comprehend His perspective. That doesn't mean that His perspective is wrong or failed or faulty. It means mine is. Psalm 12, verse 6 through 7. I'm going to hit a lot of passages. You don't have to turn to all of them. But Psalm 12, verse 6 through 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. And this is not kind of pure. This is an absolute pure. The word of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of the earth, purified 7 times. If you did a good job purifying your silver the first time, that's sufficient for us humans. But God, in speaking about His word, the perfect purifier, says, I've purified my words 7 times. The word of the Lord is pure. It's pure. It's 100% unmixed with anything tainted, dirty, any false perspective. There's no, well, that's the way God sees it. I don't know. I mean, he's got a valid point. No, that's the way it is. God has purified it, has purged it, has cleansed it, has, he knows all, he sees all, he made all. He says, my word is pure as silver that's been purified 7 times over. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And you look at God's word down through the ages of this earth, and it's amazing to see how every other document corrupts and is lost over time, or we have little shreds and pieces, and the word of God has remained complete all through full kingdoms and nations and rulers of the world trying their hardest to stamp it out and destroy it. Nation upon nation has risen up and tried to pervert it, tried to destroy it, tried to burn it and stamp it out, and it has not succeeded. The most powerful nations on earth through history have tried, and they can't succeed. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, we read this prayer that Solomon prays as he's dedicating the temple. He says, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. And looking at the Word of God, we can apply this to every single thing written in the Word of God. It has not failed one word. Not one word. You and I get so used to pretty good being good enough. Because we're all human and there is no perfection on this earth. And so if you get pretty close, we say, hey, you know what? That's pretty good. I'll accept that. Yeah. There was a word here or there that could have been changed. But, you know, overall, it's a great document. But that's not so of the Word of God. It has not failed one single word since the day God breathed it to this day. And it will not through all of eternity. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise. 1 Peter 1, verse 24 and 25, he says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of God that is preached, the good news, the gospel, endureth forever. Everything we see, everything we make, everything we accomplish fades and withers and becomes null and void at some point. Every document mankind has ever written gets outdated. Usually sooner than later. Because it doesn't apply anymore. Because it might have applied in that situation at that time to what they were facing. But the Word of God has always applied in every situation, in every time of history, and it always will. And it will have sufficient for my grandkids, if the world stands that long, to know how they ought to live their lives
in obedience to God, just as much as it did for my great-great-grandpa, and just as much as it does for me. It's timeless. It's timeless. We don't need a new gospel. We don't need an updated gospel. We don't need to change or critique or soften certain parts of the Word of God. It stands true, and it will be true, and it has been true, and it will be, and it will endure forever. What was true in the Word of God 1,000 years ago will be true in the Word of God 1,000 years from now. It endures forever. We fail, we wither, we fade, but the Word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the Word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Praise God. Praise God. There's more, and we'll get into that next week. And I don't in any way believe that I will do justice to this subject. But I desire to get a glimpse myself and as a body deeper into the Word of God. Its value, its worth, its sufficiency, its infallibility. Our responsibility and reaction in relation to it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for your word that has stood and will stand the test of time. And Lord, endures forever. And Father, I pray that each one of us would examine our hearts and our minds and examine our lives, that we would accept reproof and correction from your word in any area where we are out of line with it. And Lord, that we would be instructed in righteousness, that we would walk faithfully. Lord, that we could be mature, full grown, thoroughly furnished unto all the good works that you desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen.